Heavenly Father, as we come to your word today, may you open our hearts and minds so that as we hear your word and as we learn from it, it may change our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. But I wonder, have you seen your first 161 car yet? Your first brand new car of 2016. Perhaps you have one. This year it took me about a week or more to see that new number plate. I think it was a silver Jeep on the motorway a few days ago. Whether it's a new car or a new to me car, a second hand car, there is that thrill of getting it, isn't there? There's that thrill of driving it for the first time, of finding out about all the new things in the car. How does the stereo work? Very important. What buttons do what? And of course, looking after it. Daddy, can we eat food in the car? No, you can't. After a while, though, that sense of newness wears off, doesn't it? The novelty for most of us fades. The new buttons are no longer interesting, and the car just becomes something functional that brings us from A to B, and then hopefully back to A again. Well, as we come to a new sermon series in a new year today, we, over the next number of weeks, through the book of the Acts, or the Acts of the Apostles, are going to take time as the church today, in this place, in Virginia, in County Cavan, in Ireland, to rediscover our roots through the eyes of the early Christians and the early church movement. And as we do, it's that contrasting image of my starting illustration that I want us to hang on to as we journey through that text. That sense of newness, of excitement, of thrill, contrasting with the sense of purely functional to get us from A to B and no more. In other words, are we as a group of parishes, as individual Christians, in this community, remaining fresh, vibrant, relevant, excited, and growing as a church? Or do we, as individuals and a church, simply see our faith as purely functional in nature? We engage with it perhaps once a week. It is something that gets us from A to B and no more. And as we ask that question honestly and engage with the early church, as we see what motivated them, what their purpose was, as we see how they, as the early church, as the early Christians, lived out their calling to love and serve the Lord, my hope and my prayer is we might be inspired, enthused, engaged, and encouraged as we learn from them and apply what we learn into our church life and our personal faith journey in 2016. That our faith and what we seek to do in this place and time will be far from functional in nature. As we begin in earnest, I want to do a few things. I want to set the foundation of the sermon series by giving us a little background information on the book of Acts and the early church. I want to draw out some things from the opening verses that set the scene. And then I want to finish by looking back over the last 12 months and highlighting some of the things that stand out for me from this group of parishes to show that we are not, in many respects, just going through the motions. So some background to the Acts of the Apostles. Acts was written about 80 to 90 AD, so about 50 years after Jesus died. And as we heard, it begins with Jesus ascending back into heaven. The early verses and chapters are set in Jerusalem, and they describe the growth of this early movement. Its central theme is that the message of Jesus is for all, for Jew and for Gentile alike. So who wrote Acts and who was it written for? Well, verse 1, chapter 1, gives us those answers. As always, can I encourage you to follow along on the weekly sheet or from the Pew Bible. So Acts chapter 1, verse 1, begins with these words, "In my former book, Theophilus." Scholars have concluded that this introduction points towards Luke, who of course writes the Gospel of Luke. So Acts is part 2 of his writing. Part 1 covered the life of Jesus, and part 2 continues the story of Christianity in the first century. And who is Theophilus? Well, there is debate over this. Was it a person of which little is known, or was it a general introduction to all? Because Theophilus, translated from the Greek, means friend of God. Personally, I like the latter. Luke is addressing us in a friendly, familiar way. My dear friend of God. There is something more personal about that, isn't there? As we read on to verse 3, we are reminded that Jesus is alive. Over the course of 40 days, many people have witnessed this. As Jesus prepares to leave them and ascend back to heaven, he, in verse 8, echoes the Great Commission in Matthew 28, as he underlines their purpose and the purpose of the church. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." In other words, locally, nationally, and through the world. Your job will be to tell people about me, to share the good news, and to help establish God's kingdom on earth until Jesus comes again. And you will not do this alone. You will not do this in your own strength. Verse 4 and verse 8 reminds us that Jesus tells this small group of believers that they should wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit, another gift from God. And when the gift of the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power. And the rest of Acts builds on this purpose and promise as this small, lightly resourced group of men and women carry out their task. As we read through the rest of chapter 1, just past where we finished reading this morning, we read the story where Matthias is chosen to replace Judas. And then we leave the disciples waiting patiently for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. But as we leave the overview of the Acts of the Apostles, I want to read a summary to us. It's from a booklet that one of my predecessors wrote, Warren Nelson. I visited him just before Christmas, and he gave it to me. He sends his regards to all. For those who don't know Warren, he was the rector here in Virginia in the 1990s. And so I want to quote and read from his book on the Acts of the Apostles. And I quote, "The Acts of the Apostles is an amazing book at two levels. At the first level, it is a vivid story of life in the Roman Empire. It's full of colour, action, and historical insights. It is full of the most interesting characters, men and women, slave and free, charlatans and earnest disciples of Jesus. At the second level, though, it is the account of how the Christian faith germinated and grew despite much hindrance, not least from religious people. The disciples were accused of turning the world upside down, and in fact they did. At the start of Acts, a handful of Jesus' followers are bewildered and unsure of what to do. But by the end of Acts, 30 years later, the good news of salvation has gained a hold at Rome, the very heart of the empire. In details, their first century world was different to ours, but in the reality of sin and death, of forgiveness, of life, of love and joy and hope, they were the same as ours. They saw the church grow. We need to study their faith and their methods if we are to see the church halt her decline and grow again." Excellent words. So where are we as a church as we look back over the last 12 months through 2015, as we seek to be God's people through 2016 and beyond. Well, amidst a lot of the now routine things that happen across this group of parishes week to week, like Girls Friendly Society, Mothers Union, Sunday services, whist drives, bowling clubs, youth and children's work, grazers, Sunday schools, holiday Bible clubs, teens weekend aways, gigglers and wrigglers, our toddlers group, confirmation, seniors' dinners, Lent Bible studies, vestries, car boot sales, community carol services, St. Patrick's Day services. There are a lot of things that stand out from 2015 that I am most grateful for. I'm grateful for the working group that came together to plan and to organise our Easter celebration and mission week. It was a great week. It was wonderful to see God touch the lives of so many. And then the chance to socialise together, the parish barbecue. The rain came down on that Sunday afternoon, but we ate like lords and ladies. And then our fun day. Who will forget our fun day? The weather beat us. The storm came in on that Sunday at the end of August. It was such a shame. But my overriding feeling and joy was to see the four churches, was to see new and existing parishioners coming together, learning together, planning together, and working together for a common cause. And in the end, we covered our costs and we made the grand total of €74 each. God is good. But it was so much more than the money. People working across four churches for a common cause and purpose. Then in September, we celebrated the ordination of Raymond Kettle from Billis Parish. Again, it was great to see so many from the four churches in Sligo Cathedral that afternoon. And then at the end of September, we rededicated Killincare Church. What a transformation, and great credit to all involved. Where there is a will, there is a way. At the end of November, we were humbled by Amy's story, the miracle child. And next week in Virginia, we are having a special service of Thanksgiving, where Amy's family, her sisters and her mum, will gather here with many of their friends to be thankful to God for Amy's healing. And we'll enjoy fellowship over food, African style, in the hall afterwards together. Equally pleasing was how we worked as four churches to plan a new type of church, Messy Church, to reach out to our families, which we launched before Christmas. 90 people attended, including 44 children. Great to see so many dads present too. There was mess, there was fellowship, there was fun as we learned about Jesus and the Christmas story. As we reflect back, it is not meant to be a navel-gazing exercise. It is meant to encourage us with thankfulness to keep going, to keep being faithful to God, to keep trusting in Him. And as we engage with Acts in the coming weeks, as we journey through the next 12 months, we ask, where might the Lord be leading us? A few thoughts. If you read the Scribe Diocesan magazine, you will know that the bishop has designated 2016 as the diocesan year of prayer. How do we bring this into reality beyond meeting on a Sunday morning? I also want to encourage folk in their own service of God. So I will be running very shortly something called the Network Course, which helps people think about their gifts so that they can serve God according to their passion and giftedness. Finally, I will be introducing a rotating monthly evening service on the third Sunday of each month. 1 month it will be a healer prayer service in Killincare. The next month, a youth service, Living Praise, in Virginia Hall. And the next month, Messy Church in Billis Hall. As we begin this journey through the Acts of the Apostles, as we look back with thankfulness, As we are led by the Lord this year, there is lots, I hope, to think about. There is lots to be thankful for. There is life. And as we journey together, it is for the glory of God as we try to faithfully love and serve him in this place. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the witness and the model of the early church, for that early group of believers who are so lightly resourced and yet with courage and passion begin and build a new community. We are thankful that you have tasked us today with the same purpose, the same vision, to build your community, to build your kingdom, and to tell people about Jesus today. As we look back with thankfulness, may our hearts and minds be open to where you may be leading us this year. And I pray all of this through the precious name of Jesus. Amen.